I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome in to the BadgerBlitz.com podcast. I am your host, Benjamin Wargle, the Wisconsin football and men's basketball beat writer for Rivals.com. Wisconsin basketball, a big win on Thursday night against Indiana, a 80-73 double overtime victory, a game in which Wisconsin did not play very well for the first 35 minutes and were able to figure things out defensively the last 5 minutes. Made some huge shots at the end of regulation and overtime and some big defensive stands as well to pull away in that double overtime period. It's Wisconsin's 22nd victory in the last 25 meetings against Indiana. 18 straight victories over the Hoosiers at the Kohl Center. It sounds like it's been easy pickings. It certainly was not on Thursday, and it sets up a huge week ahead for Wisconsin, where the Badgers will play number 10 Michigan in Ann Arbor on Tuesday. Michigan, the only undefeated team left in Big Ten play, and then number 15 Rutgers on Friday, although Scarlet Knights just lost, so their ranking's going to drop a little bit. We're going to get into all of that, and we're going to do some film study. Excited to welcome in my guest this week, Sean Varanasi. He runs the Twitter handle at Badgers Film. He does a lot of pieces for BadgerBlitz.com, breaking down Wisconsin film from their more recent games. He's going to break down a lot of what went right and well and did not go so right and well against Indiana. He's going to look at it a little bit to Michigan, going to kind of dive into Jonathan Davis, Nate Reavers. Really, the last 6 minutes of this game where everything sort of changed for Wisconsin, where the game kind of had a Maryland-type feel to it, where Wisconsin had a lead in the second half and just couldn't quite keep building on it. Maryland just kept punching them in the post. Same thing against Indiana. Indiana was relentless in the second half in the paint, 28 points in the paint for that 20-minute stretch, although Wisconsin did figure things out. So we're going to talk about what happened in that last 6 minutes, what really changed, and why Indiana was able to have such success against Wisconsin. So anxious to talk to Sean here in a little bit, and also play back here in just a couple minutes the audio from Dimitri Trice, one of the many heroes of this game, and head coach Greg Gard post-Thursday. But I want to dive into this game a little bit, where what we saw was, like I've kind of mentioned, was the defense was just so leaky for Wisconsin. Indiana shot 66.7% on its 30 second half possessions, and that was largely by the Hoosiers getting into the lane uncontested and finishing around the rim. I mentioned the 28 points in the paint. They were 11 for 17 on layups and 5 for 5 on dunks. Micah Potter was struggling a little bit. Aleem Ford was struggling a little bit. Those are two really good offensive options for head coach Greg Gard. But he got to the point where he just decided that he needed to sit down Potter, sit down Ford, and really go with his best 5 defensive players down the stretch to try to stem the tide and really just kind of take it as far as he could, whether even if the game was over or foul troubles or what have you. And those 5 players were Tyler Wall, Nate Reavers, Dimitri Trice, Brad Davison, and Jonathan Davis. And the plan worked. At the time of the switch, was just about 6 minutes left. Indiana was 76.5% from the floor. They were 13 for 17. And with that new unit on the floor, Indiana went just 3 for 7 with 2 turnovers on the final 9 possessions. There's a lot of huge moments in the game down the stretch. Tyler Wall had a tremendous defensive steal at the top of the key that led to a layup on the other end, about 5:08 remaining, that cut the deficit to 56-53 and kind of got the momentum going back in Wisconsin's direction. There's a huge defensive play by Nate Reavers, who just a couple possessions earlier double teaming with Tyler Wall. Tyler Wall, I'll get to him more in a minute, but gave up 25 pounds to Indiana's sophomore forward, Trace Jackson Davis. Still was able to kind of stick with him quite a bit in this game. Him and Reavers worked very well double-teaming him to kind of try to thwart him a little bit. Davis was just unconscious. I think it was 10 of 17 they finished with from the floor. Just a robust 23 points that he was able to score. And Indiana played without its second-best player in this game, too. The Hoosiers didn't miss him. Jackson Davis, 10 of 16, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks. Just looked it up real quick. You look at that big defensive stand by Reavers. Just a possession or two earlier, Trace Jackson Davis lured the double team of Reavers and Wall to the baseline, which opened up Jerome Hunter for an uncontested slam in the paint. And that's just kind of the things that Hoosiers were doing, just kind of getting Wisconsin off their keys a little bit. And Reavers came back after a huge shot by Demetri Trice tied the game. One-on-one with Jackson Davis in the post, didn't leave his feet, stayed set, hands up, and really did a nice defensive clinic on Jackson Davis and forced him into a tough shot that went off the rim that forced overtime. At the end of overtime, Eljami Durham took advantage of Brad Davison after another big three-point shot by Demetri Trice that gave Wisconsin a lead. Brad Davison, who kind of struggled a little bit throughout this game periodically, he was able to, Elijah Durham was able to kind of get past Davison, draw a foul on a bucket for a three-point play. Demetri Trice on the next trip down the floor ties the game with 11.1 seconds left. Davison gets revenge by tying up Durham right around the three-point elbow with about 1.3 seconds left to take away Indiana's chance to win the game in overtime. Just these big defensive stops for Wisconsin. They forced 13 turnovers, 10 coming on steals that were a season high. And Demetri Trice, you'll hear him say in a minute, about changing the mindset. The mindset changed down the stretch. Someone else whose mindset changed a little bit was Nate Reavers, who was terrible early on. I mean, he made a couple of good post plays, but he just took some bad shots. He missed an uncontested offensive rebound coming on the glass. It looked like he was trying to dunk it or go for a layup somewhere in between and ended up just clanking off the backboard. He tried to draw a foul at the top of the key, and it didn't work, and he missed badly, and guards sat him down quickly thereafter. And Trice and Davison both got in Reavers' face, and you could see they were being very forceful with him. He responded well to that. Reavers sat for quite a bit of time, and then in the second half, he scored 10 of his 14 points. He showed better low post fundamentals. He worked his angles better, and he got to the free throw line. He was 6-for-6 in the final 20 minutes of the game. And I mentioned the low post defense. Jackson Davis scored 11 straight Indiana points around the midpoint of the second half, scored or assisted on. And after that stretch, thanks to Reavers, Jackson Davis didn't make a field goal the final 16 minutes. Wisconsin was better on the glass against Minnesota. They gave up 16 offensive rebounds and 19 second chance points. Indiana was just coming up a game where they had 12 offensive rebounds and a 14-4 edge in second chance points against Maryland. Wisconsin held them in 50 minutes of game time to only 32 rebounds and 2 offensive rebounds. Demetri Trice was phenomenal in this game. He hit the big shots. He has turned into this team's Trayvon Jackson / Bronson Koenig. He wants the ball in his hands, and he admitted so after the game that when he felt that Wisconsin was getting stagnant, he knew he had to come in and make plays. He hit an incredibly tough runner in the lane to force regulation, to force over the first overtime. In that overtime, I mentioned the three-pointer. He hits a step-back jumper with 11.1 seconds left to tie the game and eventually force a second overtime. He was fantastic. He did everything exceptionally well in this game. And not just the leading the team with 21 points. It was the fact that he had 7 assists to just 1 turnover. He had 11 points in the final 103 of the game and the overtimes. Someone who has been kind of criticized a little bit for not being that player who can really take over a game for Wisconsin, he now has at least 20 points in 3 of the last 4 games. He's averaging 22.3 points over that stretch. He's playing at an exceptionally high level. And that has kind of fed into other players. Look at Tyler Wall, who came into this game not shooting the ball particularly well from 3-point range. He was just 2-for-9 on the season, having lost so much confidence in that shot. He only attempted 1 3-pointer since December 9th. And like I said, he was on his floor primarily for his defense, which the team badly needed. But Wall delivered 3-pointers on consecutive possessions in front of Wisconsin's bench in double overtime that effectively sealed the game. First came late in the shot clock and put Wisconsin up 74-70, certainly a surprise to a degree that it was him shooting the ball and not Trice. But you look at the next possession, he comes down confidently, shoots another one. It goes in. They're up 7. Indiana calls timeout with 2:38 in double overtime. He is mobbed by his teammates. Wisconsin has an embarrassment of riches on this team to the point where Tyler Wall doesn't need to be that guy that needs to go in and hit those type of shots. But when he does, and he scores a career-high 12 points, that's just another huge weapon for this team. And they need to find a way to have that consistency from start to finish. I know you're never going to have that perfect game. But these slow starts that Wisconsin's have had this season, and these lulls that the Badgers have had, really has put them in precarious situations. Indiana, I think, was the better team the majority of the game Thursday. But Wisconsin made those big plays when they needed to the most. Thanks to Wall, Trice, Reavers down the stretch, Jonathan Davis, who didn't shoot the ball well, but he had a career-high 8 rebounds and a career-best 3 steals in 41 minutes. That's the most he's ever played. Just timely plays from this group. Brad Davison, who did not shoot the ball particularly well, he was just 3-for-8 in this game, makes that big defensive stop at the end of overtime. Micah Power did not play a lot. He only played about 23 minutes in this game. Still 10 points, 5-of-7, efficient. Liam Ford was good early on, 8 points in just 19 minutes, but just the yeoman's work. Nate Reavers, 35 minutes. Demetri Trice played almost 47 minutes. Davison and Wall each played 41 minutes. Tyler Wall played 30. Yeah, just an 8-man rotation for Wisconsin, and it got the job done, even though it didn't look really pretty at the end of it. But all that matters is that Wisconsin's now 10-2 this season, 4-1 in Big Ten play. It's their best start in Big Ten play in 4 years. How about winning at home? Wisconsin 36-5 at home over the last 3 seasons. Let's hear from one of the stars of the game, Demetri Trice, who spoke to the media postgame.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Obviously, when the ball's going through the net, it always feels good, especially in timely manners, like at the end of regulation and at the end of the first overtime with my 2 shots, and then obviously in the second overtime with T-Wall hitting 2 big threes. That obviously gave us the boost we needed to help us propel to get the win.
Hey, Demetri, I know he's your teammate, but be honest, did you expect Wall to hit not only 1 but 2, given his numbers coming into this game?
Of course, honestly, I see him work on it every day, and it's funny because we were just talking about it. We're the last 2 players in the gym after shoot around, and Coach Tucker's always working with him on catch and shooting, and he does this after every shoot around, and he works on spot up shooting coming off on balls and things like that with his shooting performance. And we knew it was only going to take a couple of times for him to get hot, and he got hot in the right time and when we really needed it. So we got to give Coach Tuck a lot of praise for putting us in those positions of working with us at the end of shoot around. For me, it's more ball screens and attacking bigs, and I think it showed throughout the whole game that work is finally paying off.
You guys obviously struggled defensively the first 15-16 minutes of the second half. What changed after that, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think our mindset changed a little bit. We knew that we needed to stop allowing them to get their easy points in the paint, and we know that Indiana feeds off of 2-point field goals, and they were getting too many easy shots. And I think just after every timeout, we were just harping on our guys to continue to play, continue to fight. Indiana's a good team, so we got to tip our hat to them for playing as hard as they did and making it a close game to the very end. So. We got to just get back to the drawing board. Obviously, there's a lot of things that we can clean up, but Indiana did a great job of executing, and at the end of the day, it was just about who could get more stops, and we ended up doing that down the road.
Demetri, you guys are 4-1 in the Big Ten. What have you found out about yourself, especially after a big win like tonight? What have you found out about yourself so far going into this, what should be a very difficult week?
Yeah, we got a really big week coming up, 2 road games that are going to be really tough, obviously, playing Michigan, who's a really hot team, one of the hottest teams in the country, and then at Rutgers, playing at Rack Arena is always a struggle, and we're looking for our first win there. So I think just getting to this win in double overtime is a big help, big momentum booster for us to get back to the to where we need to be. And I think it definitely shows. Obviously, we're the oldest team probably in the country. We're definitely older than the Bulls, as the announcers keep saying after or during every game. So we just know that we're a hard-nosed, gritty team. We got to continue to play Wisconsin defense, and that's what's going to get the job done. And I think that's what really helped us win, especially in the last 5 minutes of the game when we needed stops.
Nate obviously struggled a little early. It looked like you said something to him along with Brad. Can you share what you said to him, and how do you like his response in the second half for you guys?
I don't know if I can say exactly word for word what we said, but it was along the lines of he needed to get his head out of his butt because of the way he was playing. And we knew that we expect better from him. Somebody that has been on the team for a long time, he's a senior, we expect the best. So we knew that he wasn't playing up to his potential, so we had to get out onto him a couple different times. But he obviously responded very, very well in the second half. He had a couple key buckets in the post, and he played really good defense on Trace, who was their hot hand, and he was getting whatever he wanted. He got some good timely stops and jump walls that really helped us.
Meeks, it seemed like you were really driving the offense toward the end of the regulation and then in overtime there. Could you kind of feel that the ball needed to be in your hands and you kind of needed to be the person to score?
Yeah, definitely. I think that at times we got a little stagnant, and I felt that I needed to have the ball in my hands to make a play for somebody else or look for my own shot and create for myself, and I was able to do that. And I think that it just shows all the hard work and the dedication that I put in the gym, that I can find people like I did for T. Wall and some other guys, and then also look for my own shot.
Does this have a feel of the Maryland game at all? Just the way it played out in the second half with this unable to stop them, and I don't know if it felt that way at all, if you thought about that.
Yeah, especially in the second half, we came out flat again. Obviously not getting stops when we needed it to, like you guys have said, the first 12 to 15 minutes of the second half. We did not get stops when we needed it, and that obviously hurts, and it feeds into their confidence, and that's just something that we need to work on and continue to get better at. Obviously, we got enough stops, not like we did in the Maryland game, but we got enough stops there at the end to help us get to the overtime and then to another overtime. So I got to tip my hat to the guys who didn't give up, kept fighting, and continued to make plays.
Yeah, Dimitri, back to the point where you and Brad were talking to Nate down in the lane there. Is there ever any hesitation of challenging a teammate like that, or do you think he'll take it, the message, as you guys intended?
We're all old guys. We're all grown men. We can take criticism. We can harp on each other, tell each other what we need to do. If somebody needs to come to me and talk to me like that, I think I'll respond very well. And I think everybody takes criticism a little bit different in different ways. So we knew that we could yell at Nate in that way, and he would have to respond in a positive manner, in which he did in that second half. So definitely in the heat of the moment of the game, it's definitely a challenge to figure out exactly how to talk to different guys. But in moments like that, I think we're all grown men. We're all able to talk to each other how we see fit. So in that moment, we knew that we needed to get Nate to get rolling and start playing well.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
That senior point guard, Demetri Trice. This was Wisconsin's first overtime game since 2019, where they beat Ohio State 73-67. This was Wisconsin's first double overtime win since 2013, when they beat Iowa. Now Wisconsin is 7-5 in overtimes under head coach Greg Gard. And the other thing I should mention too, Wisconsin just 7 turnovers in this game, none in the second half. That pushes their streak of 11 or fewer turnovers to 30 consecutive games. The Badgers enter the game second in the NCAA, just 8.3 turnovers per game. The other big thing to mention here, Wisconsin went 16 for 20 at the free throw line. Indiana, just 5 of 8. Wisconsin, a much better job of not putting the Hoosiers on the line for free points. That's how you win games, when the opponent shoots better than you do. Let's hear from head coach Greg Gard.
heck of a college game. Hopefully those that listened to it or viewed it on TV enjoyed it. I can go up and down the list of the guys that played that made big plays. It's two really good teams going at it, and I thought we responded when our backs were against the wall. We were against the ropes many times and had big plays. Finally, defensively, got some things ironed out and got better down the stretch of the second half and overtime as well. But a lot of big plays. Dimitri Trice was terrific. Nate Reavers, I thought, really stepped up. Tyler Wall with some huge plays. Johnny Davis with some terrific defensive rebounding. So really proud of our guys, how we battled back and found a way to win.
Yeah, you guys talked in the offseason about Tyler's improved shooting from three-point range, but it hadn't shown itself, at least in games. Any surprise on your part when he took the first one and then the second one?
Well, I think the one thing with young players, it's always about confidence. And he needs to continue to, rep his shooting and get the routine and the release consistent. Before tonight, he was 2 for 9. So that's 20-some percent. He's one more make. You're shooting 33%. So then the numbers don't look so bad. But for him, it was about confidence. And that's typical for any young player. So happy for him to see the ball go in and obviously see a huge smile come to his face. But he also made some other plays. I mean, the steal and the dunk when we were down 5 was big. Some defensive plays that he made, forced a jump ball at one point, I believe. And obviously made a lot of big plays for us. But it's always exciting when you see somebody take another step in their development. And obviously for Tyler, it's going to continue to be what he can do, from shooting the ball and consistency from 3. So happy for him because he needed that. That was a good boost for him.
Hey, Greg, you're 4-1 here in the Big Ten, and you've shown a lot of things, most good, a few bad. But what has this team shown you, especially after a kind of response they made in the clutch tonight?
Yeah, well, it's a gritty group, and I think the versatility that, who's the right combination, what is the right combination to have on the floor. Sometimes it's made for offensive reasons. Tonight it was all made on the defensive end. We were just giving up way too much in the paint, way too much at the rim. And finally at the point in time, I don't know when it was, I'll watch the tape and see when, I just said, that's it. I've got to go just with the best defensive lineup and ride it until they either foul out or fall over. And obviously we ran the same 5 guys other than Micah a little bit when Nate got his 4th in overtime or in the overtimes. But I think the grit of this group, the versatility of this group, every night's going to be a battle. This league is hard. You're going to get teams good shot, best shot. Indiana's good. Their record doesn't, I think, speak to how good of a team there is. They are. Look at the analytics. That tells you, what the type of team they are. And defensively made things hard for us. They're wired defensively, much like we are, in terms of how they play. So offensively, we knew it was not going to be easy. We're going to have to work for everything. And fortunately, we had enough in the tank down the stretch to pull ourselves up and get enough stops and make some plays on the offensive end to get some separation and win. So I think, Tom, that's a long-winded answer, but the grit of this group, the mental toughness of this group, I think helped.
Once you got the group in there that you wanted defensively, what did you think they did well the last 4 minutes of regulation and both overtimes? I mean, what stopped Indiana from getting to the rim so often?
Stopped letting them shoot layups and kept the ball out of the paint as much as possible. Forced him into some tougher shots. So I think that's, it sounds simplistic, but we forced tougher shots. We didn't let the ball deep into the paint. We stopped giving up layups. We cleaned up, terrific job in the glass all night. I mean, we have 2 offensive rebounds, so we did a really good job there. And then we're able to get enough going offensively to hang with them and keep matching them basket for basket and play for play. But I think the biggest thing is that we were able to shut off, 8 feet and in around the rim.
Greg, did you think this game was reminiscent at all of the Maryland game at one point in the second half? And I was curious with the lineup that Indiana has, too, if that was similar at all to Maryland. I remember you saying Maryland's a little bit smaller, and that was kind of a tough matchup and led to some points in the paint.
Yeah, it was similar in terms of we were not very good defensively for a chunk of that second half. I mean, we were good the first half. A couple busts on some One in transition where we didn't cover in the first half, a three. A little late, slower closeout on a couple threes in the first half. But the numbers-wise, we were good in the first half. For some reason, the second half, we got into the trading baskets mode, and we had to get out of that mode. So we just got better defensively. I think that's the biggest thing is we were able to find the lineup and ride that and find a way to get enough stops and keep ourselves in the game.
Greg, you mentioned grit and battling back. There have been some games where Nate, at least offensively, hasn't been efficient early. And tonight's another one of those where, you know, Meech and Davison challenge him and he makes some plays. What can he do or what does he need to do to maybe get into the flow a little better in that first half? I know if you had the answer, you'd fix it.
I don't know. Change what he's eating for pregame meal, sleep on the other side of the pillow. I ask him that all the time. What works well for everybody? What works well? Keep doing it. If something doesn't work, tie your other shoe first. Jeff, I don't have a great answer for you. I mean, I thought he finished around the paint after the first little flurry, and I sat him down, came back in. I thought he was better in the first half and finishing at the rim. You just got to get in there and play off 2 feet. He doesn't play off 2 feet. When he plays off 2 feet and you hear the pop, I don't know if you can hear it up where you're sitting, when he gets in there and jump stops hard on 2 feet and you hear that smack, he's really good at the rim. When he's playing off 1 foot and he kind of wobbles in there a little bit, then he's not as strong with the finish. Nobody is. So I think that's one thing, and we've worked on that. We've emphasized that, and he knows it. So we just got to continue to, when he is that in that 8 foot zone, try to play off 2 feet and try to play through contact more consistently.
Then again, head coach Greggard speaking after Wisconsin's win Thursday against Indiana. As we sit here Saturday morning, Wisconsin is one game out of first place in the Big Ten. As I mentioned earlier, Michigan is the only undefeated team left in Big Ten play. They're 10-0, ranked 10-0, 5-0 in conference play. They're ranked 10th in the country. Illinois is a half game back at 5-1. Wisconsin, Iowa at 4-1, and then a log jam. Minnesota, Purdue, Northwestern, and Rutgers at 3-3. Ohio State and Indiana at 2-3. Michigan State 2-4. Maryland 1-5. Their only win coming at Wisconsin. Penn State 0-3 and Nebraska 0-4. Penn State is now on pause because of COVID. So not only do they have to remake the Wisconsin game from this past Sunday, but they also have to remake a game coming up against Michigan and Rutgers. Ironically, both Michigan and Rutgers now have a little bit of extra time to prepare for playing Wisconsin. So kind of interesting how that worked out. But big week ahead for the Badgers, certainly going against Michigan. And then the game at Rutgers will be interesting too. Wisconsin has never won at Rutgers since the Scarlet Knights joined the Big Ten.
This week on the podcast, we wanted to take you into the Badger Blitz film room, and our film expert is here to join us, breaking down a little bit what we saw against Indiana, and then maybe looking ahead a little bit to Michigan. Big game next week for the Badgers. Sean Varanasi joins the program. And Sean, thanks for your time. You've been doing these Badger Blitz film room breakdowns for quite some time. I know they're very popular on the site. And you looked at the Minnesota win. I thought that was a critical moment for Wisconsin because of what we saw, or should I say did not see, against Maryland. And then the Badgers really kind of stuck to their script and played some very good all-around basketball against Minnesota on New Year's Eve. Now, it's been a week with the cancellation, or the postponement of the Penn State game before the Indiana game. When you watched the game on Thursday night between Wisconsin and Indiana, what are some things that stood out to you from a film perspective of some of the reasons that Wisconsin struggled? Let's first start on the offensive end of the floor, really for the first 35 minutes.
Yeah, so, Wisconsin definitely struggled a little bit on the offensive end early in the game, as you noted, or first 35 minutes or so. And I think it's important to note that Indiana's just a good defense too, right? So I think coming into the game, KenPom had them ninth in adjusted defense, and I think that's kind of where they were after. And Wisconsin ended up with 1.07 points per possession, which is pretty good considering that, right? And I think Bart Torvik had it as actually an above average offensive performance considering strength of opponent. So overall, it wasn't a bad day for Wisconsin, but I think Indiana's defense did do some things to make Wisconsin work kind of hard. So Indiana kind of runs this pack line defense, right? And it's similar to Wisconsin, where off the ball, everyone's kind of shrunk into to this back line, which is essentially an imaginary 17-foot arc where everyone tries to kind of sit in and help when they're not guarding on the ball. And that kind of made things difficult for Wisconsin in a couple ways. And if you boil down Wisconsin's offense in general, you know, take away all the sets and the actions and everything, the two things that are kind of, you know, the main features are post-ups and pick and rolls, right? So, you know, looking first at post-ups, what Indiana did, two main things that really made things tough was the first was they just refused to concede any deep position, right? So they did a great job all game of rooting out Potter and Reavers and Aline Ford when they were trying to get deep post touches and force these guys really to catch the ball from like 15 to 17 feet. And that's really not ideal because, you know, the deeper you catch the ball, the more efficient you'll be. And conversely, if you catch the ball, you know, 15, 17 feet on a post touch with your back to the basket, it's not the most efficient situation. So Indiana did a great job of doing that. And the other thing they did was just denying the passing angles on the entry. So not only was Wisconsin struggling to establish position in the post, they had a tough time entering the ball. So there was some ball pressure, you know, for the guys trying to feed the post. Sometimes there was another man on that side trying to help and deny the passing angle. And usually what you do to counter that is just kind of empty out the side and try to run a little two-man to get the post feed, but it was just something that Indiana did a great job on kind of helping and denying the post entries. So that was kind of the first thing that Indiana did a great job of. Secondly, in the pick and roll situations, Indiana just did a really good job of just kind of stunting and recovering. So, you know, Wisconsin likes to get into the pick and roll action, whether they do like kind of a roll and replace or a pick and pop. Indiana really does a great job of like, you know, they were running kind of like almost like a softer hedge. It wasn't really a hard hedge, but it was kind of a softer hedge. And then a guy like Potter or Reavers would roll, and then Indiana would kind of bring over the weak side help, jam the roller, recover. And Trice historically does a pretty good job of like baiting that help guy on the weak side to recover back to his man on the perimeter early, and then kind of getting the late pass to the roller. So he got that early one to Potter. But besides that, Indiana kind of tightened that up, and they kind of weren't falling for it. So that was another thing Indiana was doing really well. It was just their help was just on time. It was well coordinated, and they recovered. They recovered really quickly.
On the flip side of that, Wisconsin did a lot of really good things defensively early. I thought they had that intensity that was needed to win those type of games when offensively maybe you're not clicking as much as the team would desire to be. I mean, Indiana just shot 40% in the first half, and Wisconsin had, you know, a lead, not really a massive lead, but a lead comfortable enough of a couple possessions. But then things changed so drastically in the second half with Indiana's ability to get to the paint, and they scored 28 of their points in the paint in that second half. What did you notice that the Hoosiers changed that Wisconsin was not able to adjust to until about 6 minutes left in that half?
Yeah, so defensively, Wisconsin struggled, and you know, you mentioned the Maryland game where it was kind of similar themes to that, where Indiana, you know, they have some athletes who can put the ball on the floor. They run some, you know, basic roll and replace kind of stuff, and it really makes, you know, they're kind of targeting Brad Davison on the replace action. So Brad would kind of, it would run a little ball screen with Trace Jackson Davis, and he would be the roller, and Brad would kind of be that weak side help, would have to come over, tag the roller, and recover over to his man, who was Al Durham. But basically what was going on is there, you know, while Brad was tagging, They skipped the ball over to Al Durham, who just drove the closeout. Brad just, you know, sometimes he was a little sloppy on the closeout, sometimes he was a little late, sometimes just out of position. But they were doing a lot of that and getting into the lane. So it was either Durham getting to the rim and able to dish off to Trace Jackson Davis. There was some pick and roll where they just got to Davis directly. So I think what they were just trying to do is try to get Wisconsin almost in a scramble situation where they made Davison cover a lot of space. And recover. And I think, you know, what they did differently to cause some of those issues was they started running their ball screen game a little wider. So what I mean by that is in the first half, a lot of it was run super tight. So they were running the roll man, you know, wasn't rolling super wide, wasn't really demanding a lot of help. And it actually made it really easy for, you know, the big who was involved in the screening action defensively for Wisconsin. It made his job a lot easier to recover because he just Mm-hmm. But once you widen out that action, you send that roll man almost on a wider roll, almost like through the middle of the lane or even through the opposite side of the lane, all of a sudden you've got a way further recovery space for the big man involved in the screening action, which is going to demand more help from the weak side. So they started widening out that action in the second half, and that's kind of how they started targeting Brad Davison a little bit on the weak side.
Guard said to us after the game that right around probably the six-minute mark, he had pretty much seen enough, and he made a pretty drastic change in the lineup. You didn't see Aleem Ford very much down the stretch. You didn't see Micah Potter very much down the stretch. He went with his five best defenders, and that for him is Trice, Davison, Jonathan Davis, who has played, I think, fantastic to this point, Nate Reavers, and Tyler Wahl. What did those five guys bring down the stretch that really changed the outcome of the game? Because from that point on, Indiana looked vastly different with the looks they were able to get inside, and the post defense really improved as well. I think Indiana was, 3 of 7 with 2 turnovers in their last 9 possessions, and no offensive rebounds, which was big considering that was a big sore spot for Wisconsin in that Minnesota win.
Right. Yeah, and that lineup was locked down defensively, and I think that's kind of the calling card for some of these late game situations, and that's something that's gone back to Bo too. Is down the stretch, when in doubt, just go with the best defensive lineup and figure it out on the offensive end. But Potter, obviously, it's been talked about how much he struggles in ball screen situations. He did all right yesterday. I thought there were a couple plays, mainly in more of a straight line drive situations, where he struggled. And then Aleem Ford, it just wasn't a good matchup game for him. I think they were able to drive in. They were able to put him in positions defensively where, he was struggling to stay in front of his man. And then when you talk about Wahl, Davis, and Reavers, all those guys bring some different stuff to the table. So you got Reavers, who does a great job in ball screen situations typically, right? So he does a good job just kind of cutting off penetration, knowing when the right time to recover is. Wahl is just really good at being an on-time help. So Wahl usually finds himself in some of those weak side situations where he needs to come over and either jam the roller or come over and cut off penetration. He's kind of hyper-aware at all times on defense. I think there's some lapses here and there, but in general, he's a really good, consistent defender. So that was great, and he played lights out down the stretch. And I think Davis, it's kind of interesting because Guard said earlier this year that, sometimes Davis might lack an understanding of the rules, so to speak, on defense. He makes up for it with just like hyper athleticism, super quick reactions to what's going on the floor. And Davis just seems to find himself around the ball, and I don't think that's a coincidence. And that's a really good defensive trait because he's quick to help. He's a great rebounder, as we saw yesterday. And even in the first half, I think there are 2 or 3 defensive possessions in a row where he made some really great plays, whether it was a save or it was a tip. And stuff like that, and I think I think Guard appreciates that, and he knows that you can count on Davis, and he's a versatile player on that end as well, because you can put him on some guards, and he'll be able to guard on the perimeter. He's got good strength and good athleticism. If he's put in ball screen situations or if someone tries to penetrate, and he finishes the possession well because he can sky for the rebound. He times his jumps well. All around, he's just rock solid on defensive end.
Through what we've seen through Big Ten play, Shum, has Wisconsin faced a team that has done something similar to another team? What I mean by that, has Maryland done something to Wisconsin that Minnesota did to Wisconsin, or that that Indiana did? I mean, has everything been different that Wisconsin has faced, or have you seen some similarities in how teams are attacking Wisconsin or trying to defend Wisconsin to this point?
I do think, in terms of attacking Wisconsin, I think there is, so to speak, a little bit of a blueprint, and it's a lot of these secondary line drives. So like I said, where, Indiana was attacking the closeout when Brad had to close out on the weak side. That's one thing, where, Wisconsin, they're not going to beat you with just outstanding perimeter lockdown defense where they won't allow penetration, right? So there's a lot of, Wisconsin, doesn't do a greatest job of stopping penetration, but what they do well is bringing the help early, recovering well, knowing their assignments, things like that. But, if you put them in 2 or 3 ball screen situations per possession, eventually, there's going to be a crack in the dam, and I think Maryland kind of exposed continue to put pressure on them over and over again, there's going to be some, you know, there's some exposure there. So I think Maryland kind of showed that, and Wisconsin, you know, to be fair, didn't bring their A game defensively that game. And I think Minnesota tried a little bit of that. Wisconsin came out with a little different game plan against Marcus Carr that I covered in the piece where they were hedging a little more to cut off the penetration. And Indiana was doing some similar stuff too, where they were getting into a ball screen, they're getting into another ball screen. They ran like little exchanges into a ball screen. All sorts of stuff where they were just trying to squeeze in as many help and recover situations in a possession for Wisconsin as possible, and eventually try to force a mistake.
Where do you sit on Nate Reavers? What have you seen from him when things go exceptionally well, kind of like they did in the second half? And where do you see when things don't go well, like they did kind of in the first half? Greggard said, as I played a little bit ago, it's kind of with his footwork. When he goes up 2 feet and strong, he has success. He hits buckets or he gets to the free throw line. When he one foots or kind of has that fadeaway, he's more inconsistent. Is it simply just that, or are you seeing more that kind of leads to the two different Nate Reavers fans have seen through the first part of this season?
No, I think I saw that quote too, and I think Gard kind of captured it well. I guess what I'd add is one of the things I think that we saw through, you know, basically the whole season so far is that Nate has obviously struggled in the post, and to me, it does look like he's rushing, he's pressing a little bit, and that's kind of something you see when guys get into a little bit of a slump. You know, he's getting those post touches. You know, he's not going up solidly. He doesn't have his feet on the ground. He's one footing it, and he's fading away a lot too. And I think that's kind of a symptom of pressing and rushing a little bit too. Is when you're afraid to get blocked, you're fading away. But I think what he actually turned around yesterday, and this is actually something that I think Badger fans should feel a little bit of excitement about, is it looked like he really slowed down. And what I mean by that is they weren't getting him deep post touches, which he likes, but he was getting some of those 15-foot post touches kind of in the short corner. And he just kind of, you know, methodically, deliberately backed down. He went in with a plan. He got down kind of within that 8-foot zone or so, as Gard called it. And he used pump fakes, he used pivots, and he didn't rush the shot. He wasn't afraid of the shot blocker. And when you do that, you go up off 2 feet, you're going to naturally grow up a little stronger. And you obviously will have a better shot or a better chance of putting the shot in. And I think that's, you kind of saw the game slow down for him a little bit yesterday. And hopefully that's a sign, you know, a promising sign moving forward. And as he hopes to get out of the slump. But I think Gard captured it well. He's just a little more solid physically. He slows down, and he's using his 2 feet properly.
What else stood out about the win over Indiana for you when you kind of broke down the film?
I think what was most promising was some of the adjustments on the defensive end down the stretch. So you obviously talked about the lineup changes, but what happened late is I think Brett Davison made a couple plays defensively. So obviously, you know, we all remember the tie up on the perimeter, but there are a couple times where he blew up some of the curl actions that they're running for Al Durham. So they ran a couple of those little tight curls around the lane line, and Brad kind of got caught chasing or caught behind the play. And one way to blow that up is just try to beat your man to the spot when he's trying to get around the screen and just kind of blows up the action. Brad did that a couple times. He cut off penetration a couple times, which was, it's kind of a big deal to see, such a big shift in the ability to stop a certain action that's been giving you trouble, with 3 minutes left in regulation. So that was kind of a big deal. And then also, you know, the help was just a little earlier and everyone was kind of dialed in towards the end. And it's kind of what we want to see for an entire game. Down the stretch when Wisconsin got the stops, I think you covered it where they had several possessions. I think I had 5 possessions in a row. They got a stop down the stretch in the second half. And that's just a result of the help being there on time, recovering on time, doing all the things, you know, their coach do and they should be doing. And I think that was a big deal is that, you know, they played 35 minutes of kind of lackluster ball and then just, you know, flipped the switch and turned it on. I think the ability to kind of lock in even when you're fatigued, even, you know, when the chips are down and be able to do that was a big deal.
Couple more minutes here with Sean Varanasi, who does film work for BadgerBlitz.com. You can read his work at BadgerBlitz.com. Sean, there's been a lot of talk about Jonathan Davis, who, you know, he's not the first true freshman to come in and make an impact at Wisconsin, but he just seems to be wired a little bit differently, especially on defense. Reminds me a little bit of how Josh Gosser kind of made himself known when he first started playing at Wisconsin. He did it on the defensive end. Brad Davison kind of too the same way. Jonathan has that flair to him. We've seen it at times with his ability to attack and finish with either hand. Certainly, last night too, didn't shoot particularly well, but made those kind of those gritty plays around the rim. What do you see from him on both ends of the court that is going to give him the opportunity to be a not just a big impact player this year, but kind of grow into an even bigger role either next year when possibly some of these seniors choose not to come back, or especially in 2 years when a lot of these seniors like Davidson and Trice won't be here anymore and he'll have a much bigger role on this team?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of a huge thing, and that's been one of the most pleasant surprises of the season for me is how just truly ready he looks, and he's looked from the get-go. I think I'll start defensively. He's just got, like I said, he's kind of just an all-around package where he's versatile. He can cover multiple positions, and he finishes possessions well by getting rebounds well. But he's just got this motor where he just never gives up on a play. He's always seemed to be around the ball. He always seems to be able to help and recover really well. And I think those are kind of the little things that this program is built on, especially on the defensive end, that you see that are really valued, and Davis does a great job of doing those things. And what I really like about him offensively is I guess we haven't seen the full picture, right? We've seen him struggle in some of the mid-range stuff. His three ball has been all right, but it's been low volume. But I guess what you see offensively is kind of that same motor. But what I really like is just the willingness to be aggressive. And my philosophy is always like, it's better to make mistakes when you're going 100 miles an hour than to be out there and be tentative. Especially if you look forward, into next year and years following, you know, Jonathan Davis's usage is going to need to go up to, you know, mid-20s or higher. So the fact that he's kind of figuring it out, getting comfortable, understanding where his spots are and where they're not, when he's got the supporting cast to kind of be a safety net, is I think it's going to pay dividends in the future. So I think, offensively, it's just his willingness to be aggressive, it's his willingness to hunt your shot. And when you're as talented and as athletic as Johnny is, it's not something that I think is a bad thing right now. So you've got all these seniors and all these experienced guys around you. Like, go out there and feel free to try to go make some plays and make mistakes, because this is the best time to learn. And he's doing a great job of that so far.
Sean, I don't think many people took Michigan's undefeated start too seriously. Certainly, they were really the last team left standing in the Big Ten from an undefeated standpoint, just because a lot of the other really good teams played each other and were knocking each other off. But these Wolverines are pretty darn good, and we've seen that here over the course of the last several games with how they've been playing and how they've kind of been blowing out teams. This is going to be a tough test for Wisconsin here on Tuesday, and I think this next week, not just Michigan on Tuesday, but Rutgers on Friday, is going to tell us a lot about this team, maybe more so than them playing at Michigan State on Christmas. Kind of walk me through what you see in this matchup with Wisconsin and Michigan. There appears to be a little bit of some parallel between what Michigan does and what Indiana likes to do.
Yeah, that's a great point. So obviously Michigan has had a great start to the season, and you're just going to hear about Hunter Dickinson more and more, because he's just been, for lack of a better word, just a stud for Michigan. And he, specifically for him, he's just super efficient in the post. So I think he's averaging around 1.4 points per possession in the post, which is like unheard of efficiency. I think Synergy has that in the 100th percentile. So he's probably the best guy in the country there. He's similarly effective as a role man in pick and roll too. So what kind of intrigued me about this matchup with Indiana was that, I think Indiana kind of fits a similar profile as Michigan. They got a big guy, Indiana, Trace Jackson Davis, who's good in the post, who's a good role man, and then kind of surround him with shooters who want to attack closeouts and dribble, and can pass the ball well too. I was sitting here thinking about what Wisconsin's going to do to stop Dickinson. And I saw Wisconsin tried a couple things in the first half against Trace Jackson Davis, where, you know, they were doubling him. I think one time they sent a full-out hard double, which was one of the first times I've seen them double the post this season. And then a couple other times they kind of stunted on the first dribble. So, you know, once Trace Jackson Davis put the ball on the floor, I think Wall came over once and tried to double him and get the ball out of his hands. And I think Davis did it again later. So I think that's kind of a coverage you'll see Wisconsin might mix in against Dickinson too. The scarier part with Michigan is, I think, you know, they're kind of like Indiana on steroids. I think Dickinson's a little better than Trace Jackson Davis, and then the supporting cast with guys like Wagner and Livers and Eli Brooks and Mike Smith. Those guys are some of the best you'll see in the Big Ten, and all those, you know, those four surrounding guys can all put the ball on the floor, they'll all space the floor. So it's going to be an interesting test, but I thought Wisconsin's, you know, doubling the post a little bit. And I thought in the second half, something they did for Trace Jackson Davis, I don't know if this is intentional or not, they started playing him a little higher, too. So they weren't, like, fully top-locking him or playing him high side or anything like that, but it was almost like a three-quarter, kind of a three-quarter coverage where they're trying to keep him over to his baseline shoulder. And kind of the reason for that, I'm guessing, was just because he had probably three or four really good post touches where he got to the middle and was able to really easily get a hook shot up and over. And when you get, you know, when you take him baseline, he kind of loses the backboard a little bit, and makes it a tougher angle to finish the shot. So I think we saw a little bit of that. I'm curious to see if Wisconsin does the similar thing with Dickinson. Dickinson as well is not a great, perimeter shooter, just like Trace Jackson Davis. So you kind of want to force him to catch the ball deep, whether it's just, you know, in pick and pop situations, just kind of, you know, bait him to pop and catch the ball deep, or root him out from his deep post position. But Dickinson's been kind of a load for everybody this year. So it'll be interesting to see if Wisconsin unveils anything else, to try to slow down that attack. But I think what we saw against, you know, a couple of wrinkles they threw at Trish Jackson Davis might be some stuff we'll see, on Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic matchup. Michigan just got done destroying Minnesota, and now they have extra time to prepare because their game against Penn State has been postponed. And Rutgers, the same thing. Rutgers has got Ohio State here on Saturday night, and then their next game before Wisconsin was against Penn State, so that's going to be postponed as well. So these two teams will each have some time to prepare for Wisconsin. But as we've kind of seen here this season, when Wisconsin kind of has a little bit of a stinker, the Marquette game, the Maryland game, and I would even say that this game against Indiana, a little bit of a stinker, they come back and they pretty much are hyper-focused the next game. So this game on Tuesday will be a good early season test for them. Sean, great stuff today. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your next story on BadgerBlitz.com, and we will we'll touch base again later in the season.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Ben.
Really good stuff there from Sean. We're going to have him back later in the season, hopefully, as Wisconsin closes in on a Big Ten regular season championship. The good news is this team hasn't peaked yet. It's still a team that is hard for me to figure out. I thought I had them figure out on Christmas Day after they won at Michigan State. Turns out Michigan State is still kind of going through their own problems a little bit. Then they had that clunker at home against Maryland. The Big Ten's so good this year that you're going to have those type of games, but I think this week upcoming here, where the Badgers have to find their own energy. It's going to be an empty arena to a degree, but still on the road against two really tough teams, Badgers are going to have to be able to come out of the gate stronger than they have been, because you don't want to play catch-up against these two really talented and really physical Big Ten teams. For all the latest on Wisconsin football, basketball, and recruiting, log on to BadgerBlitz.com. On the website now, I'm doing a recap of every position on the football team from the 2020 season. Kind of looking back while looking ahead. You can read those for free. Also follow me on Twitter at TheBadgerNation. Follow us on Twitter at Badger_Blitz. And certainly follow Sean at Badgers Film. We will talk to you next week. And thanks for listening, as always, to the BadgerBlitz.com podcast.